Luke chapter 12 is where we're at. This morning, we were looking at the first couple of verses, and we were talking about disciples and what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. And we saw that discipleship is not easy. It's not a walk in the park. And so often, sometimes, I shouldn't say often, but often, from my experience, we have misled young people your age when it comes to making decisions to Christ. We say, oh, that's the best thing it is. Your life's going to be great, and it will. Then we leave you like that and say, hey, you're going to be great. It's going to be fun. And then what happens is, as God has spoken, as God has worked in your heart and life, there comes a time to where he leaves you, and it gets difficult. It gets hard. It gets tough. It's challenging, and there's decisions you got to make, and you have to determine, am I going to follow God, or am I going to go my own way again? And so often we've come to the realization, and I've come to the realization, that so often we in the ministry oftentimes don't tell you the truth as young people. You follow God, it is the absolutely greatest thing you can do. If you get involved in his ministry, I love last session. I love the book of 2 Corinthians, especially those first five chapters. But if you get involved in his ministry, it is absolutely worth it. But it's going to be hard. There's going to be challenges. There's going to be difficulties. It would be a lot easier to stay home on the couch and watch TV than to actually be in what God has for you. So why again, let me answer the question, ask the question again. Why should you and I be involved in the ministry? This morning we were looking at the first 12 verses and we were seeing how God gave his disciples promises. And he said, here's reason. Yeah, it's hard. It's difficult. If you don't deny yourself, you cannot be my disciple. If you're not willing to hate father, mother, if you're not willing to hate brothers or sisters, if you're not willing to separate from this world, you cannot be my disciple. If you don't take up your cross, you can't be my disciple. But why would somebody want to be a disciple of Christ? We saw some reasons this morning, verses 1 through 12. But somebody interjects Jesus. He's talking along. And look with me what it says in verse 13. And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. In the next several verses, Jesus gives us this parable of the rich farmer who his fields do very well. The rich farmer had a problem. Look at verse 19. And the farmer said, I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. And he said unto his disciples, Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, neither for the body, what you shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Father, in these final few minutes of this day, would you help us to understand truth? And Father, I know there's some here who have, well, they're just here because they have to be. I pray that you'd grip them, that you'd help them to see the reality, the importance of being a follower of you. And others here are little known. They're not the most popular or the most talented. But Lord, they genuinely have a desire to serve you. Would you encourage them? Would the truth that's been given today lodge within? And would they see that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, the life for their life currently? And would they continually follow, loving, passionately serving you? Lord, will you help us and strengthen us all in this discipleship matter? And would you help us in this final session to see the big thing that often keeps people from being disciples? Stuff, money. Help us to see what you said about this. And would we grow in faith? Oh, Lord, I need you. I can do nothing but fail. Protect my wife and kids while I'm away. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, notice again, if we go back to verse 1, who is Jesus talking to? Okay, great. Who was he talking to? Thank you. How many people were gathered there? A lot. Yet Jesus still focused on disciples. Well, in verse 13, as we just saw, one of the company, and it seemed like it's one of the outside people, one of the company says unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divides inheritance with me. And Jesus doesn't even get into it. He doesn't even get into the issue. He's like, nope, I'm not touching that. He says, take heed. Beware of covetousness, verse 15. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things he possesseth. Your life is not about the clothes you own. It's not about the car you drive or hope to drive one day. Your life is not about the amount of money. It's not about the degree you want to earn. It's not about your position or your possessions. It's about Jesus. Jesus makes it very clear. It's not about our stuff. Then he gives us this wonderful parable. The ground, verse 16, of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. Now, right there, it's not wrong to have things. I pray that God blesses each and every one of you, and that will include material possessions. God has us. And we're not wealthy by any means, but God has met every one of our needs, and we're going to talk to that end. But I pray that God does bless you, but things aren't necessarily the sign of God's blessing, but they're not necessarily evil either. This rich man had done well financially, and that's not a problem. And he thought within himself, verse 17, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. Up to this point, nothing necessarily is wrong. The Bible teaches you and I should be hard workers. We should be savers. We should be investors. That's normal. But here's the problem. Look at verse 19. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease. Eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. God says, no, you're foolish. Look at that next phrase. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? You may have nice clothes on today, and that's nice. I'm glad you do. Some of you have the same t-shirt on. You guys all shop at the same place or something? There's nothing wrong with having nice clothes, nice things, and even a little bit of money in the bank. I think everybody would be, I like that. Nothing's wrong with that. But what this rich man was doing was saying, I don't need God. I don't need that at all. I'm sufficient myself. Jesus was warning about covetousness. And look at that last phrase. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? Are you going to keep your stuff forever? No. Eventually, it's going to be in Goodwill somewhere, and people are going to be picking through it. Or you're like me, it's going to go back to Goodwill. Some of you get that. Yeah. You don't keep it forever. It's going to pass away. You and I aren't eternal. Our stuff isn't eternal. You may ride in a nice car. You may hope to have a nice car. You may actually own your own nice car. I didn't in high school. Mine was a rust bucket, but it got me from point A to point B. But you may have nice things, but one day they're not going to be nice. Someone else is going to get it. You can't take it with you. Verse 21, Jesus says something astounding. He says, so is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. And what is he talking about? He's a fool. Literally speaking, if you're here today and you're not laying up treasure for God, if you're living for yourself, for your position, for possessions, for money, in a very polite way, let me just tell you exactly what Jesus is saying to you from Luke 12. You're a fool. I wouldn't say that unless Jesus did. You're a fool. I know that's a little bit hard at 3:30 on a Saturday afternoon to stomach, but that's the truth. Friend, if you're here and you are living for yourself, you're not interested in serving God, you're not interested in following Him, you're only interested in stuff and money, and you got your dreams, your plans, you got it all figured out, you are a fool, absolute fool. And so Jesus then turns his attention back toward disciples. Look at what it says in verse 22. And he said unto his disciples. So he's talking to his disciples in the first 12 verses of the chapter. Then somebody interrupts and he gives a parable. But he doesn't even talk to the people. He doesn't even talk to the crowd. But then he turns his attention back to the disciples. And he says this. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought. Literally, don't be worried. Don't be torn about. Don't be torn up inside about this thinking, oh, how am I going to get the money? I know I got to go to Christian college because that's what God has for me. I got to pay for this. I got to do this. And man, how am I going to do this? Don't worry. Don't be torn up inside. Take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body, what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat and the body more than raiment. Paul said it like this. Don't fret, don't worry. Paul in 1 Timothy, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. Food. Did you guys eat today? Yeah. Enjoy the pizza and the nuggets? Yeah, there's actually stuff in the lobby for you as you leave. Not a full meal, but, you know, a little snack stuff. T-bone, ribeye, that type of thing to help you on the way home. Just kidding. But yeah, if you didn't eat, it's your own fault. So you got food? Do you have food? Yeah, okay. Do you have raiment? That's covering, literally. Do you have raiment? Covering. Yeah, you have clothes on. Not to be inappropriate, but you got clothes on, right? You're out of the rain, right? Okay, right there. You got food and raiment. You got food and covering. You meet the requirements of being content. But Brent, I don't have the latest iPhone X3S 4G with the funny thing on it that reads my face. So, it's not eternal. And besides, it's $1,100. Yeah, those are expensive. You can donate one to me. I won't say no. But hey, so often we miss contentment completely. We have food and raiment, Paul says. We can be content. Jesus says here, don't worry. Don't worry. Your life is more than meat and the body more than raiment, more than what you put on. Jesus is here taking his disciples and he's shaking them because the disciples are still looking around in their mind. They're thinking, oh, how am I going to do this, Jesus? You've called us to this ministry. You want us to love you and serve you and walk with you and trust you. How are we going to do this thing? And Jesus is like, stop worrying. I've got you. And he gives us five considerations. I want us to look at these briefly. Number one, look at verse 24. Consider the ravens. What's a raven? It's like a crow. Bad. I know where I'm at, and I should have thought of that when I asked the question. What's a raven? Yeah, a football team. Yeah, I know. But literally, it's a crow. Now, when you drive by roadkill, I always try to look and see what was killed, and occasionally you can recognize it, and occasionally you're like, I wonder what that was, right? I'm driven by some things that I had no clue what was on the side of the road. Sometimes I wonder what that was. But anyway, look what it says here. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap. Have you ever seen a raven throwing seed into his garden? They reap. Have you ever seen a raven driving the big John Deere combine down the field? You ever seen one of those? No. Which neither have storehouse nor barn. They don't have any way of providing for themselves. Look what it says here. Look at those next words in the middle of the verse. It starts with and. Four words. Can you say them with me? And God feedeth them. Can you say that again with me? And God feedeth them. Hey, next time you see roadkill and you see those big, black, nasty birds on the side of the road, I want you to think to yourself, God's feeding them. No, God's not feeding them. That's just the natural way things happen. No. What does the Bible say? God's taking care of the ravens. You've never seen a raven pushing his cart in Walmart filling it up, have you? No. How do they get fed? By the almighty hand of God, who takes care of the birds. Well, aren't you better than the birds? Yeah, just read that. Go back with me to verse number seven. Fear not, therefore, you're of more value than many sparrows. You're better than the birds. God takes care of the ravens in verse 24. Look at verse 25. And which of you with taking thought can add to his stature one cubit? How many of you used to line up for recess to, like, tallest to shortest? Is that politically correct anymore? Can you do that? I was always the tallest, so I was go naturally to the front of the line and line up, and everyone was behind me. You have the guys who are the shortest, like Brother Josh, and he would always probably go to the back of the line. Just, you know, you're probably content to go to the back of the line. That's just, you knew your place, right? Yeah, I knew my place, you knew your place. We're all good. No, I like Brother Josh. Everyone has to have some short people in their life. Well, I don't know, I even know why I'm picking on you. Brother Josh, good to see you. But hey, you know, then there's those people in the middle. Maybe you're one of the middle people. I'm taller. You ever seen it lining up for kickball? Yeah. How many of you with taking thought by thinking really hard can grow? How many can grow? Can you do that? You can't. How did you determine, which boxes did you check when you were a kid to determine how high you are? Oh, you didn't, did you? Who did? Your parents didn't. There's no form in the hospital they fill out. No. Who did? God did. And literally, the point of this verse is the fact that God determines your direction of life. That doesn't mean we don't have a free will, we don't have choices. That just means that God is ultimately in control of everything. God is sovereignly working behind the scenes. You can't change your direction. You can't change your height. That doesn't mean we don't have free will, but it's simply saying, hey, then don't worry about life. Don't fret the small things because God is in control. He's the one who knows how high you are going to be. He's the one who gave you the parents you have. He's the one who sovereignly placed you in the position you have. So don't worry about the little things. Don't worry about the big things. Simply walk with God. Trust Him. Consider your stature. Verse 25. Look at thirdly, verse 26. If ye then be not able to take to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Verse 27. Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. How many of you ladies spend at least 45 minutes a day putting on your makeup? One, two, couple, 30 minutes? You're like, I'm not going to raise my hand now. 15 minutes? Okay. Yeah, you spend some time. You ladies look nice. Guys? You guys maybe should look in a mirror. Have you ever seen a beautiful lily at Easter? Have you ever seen that lily getting ready for Easter? In front of the mirror, prepping itself, getting ready? Have you seen that? Oh, you never will. Right? It's a lily. Who made the lily beautiful? God did. The lily, it says here, look again in verse number 27. Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. They're not there sitting in the plant looking, I hope I'm beautiful. I got this acne. Oh, all right, makeup. Not at all. What are they doing? They're just existing. And what happens? Look what it says there. Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Who makes the lilies beautiful? God does. And Jesus says, if God takes care of the ravens, if he takes care of your growth, if he takes care of the lilies, then I can take care of you. And remember, he's talking to disciples here. Look what it says in verse 28. If then God so clothe the grass which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven, oh, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? Grass? Have you ever driven by a field that wasn't being mowed, that wasn't being tended to? And you think to yourself, oh, no one's taking care of that grass. You ever thought that? Well, that's where we're wrong. Because God's taking care of the grass. Look what it says there. God so clothed the grass. God literally takes care of the grass. That's literally what the Bible says. What is grass? It's green stuff I have to mow every week in the summer. Ugh. Yeah. Here it said it's for food. People in many countries cut down the hay and they use it to burn, to make fire, for make bread, to make things, to make bricks. It's useful. If God so clothed the grass which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? God is concerned about yards. Don't you think he's concerned about you? Now think about it. God says, consider the ravens, consider your growth, your stature, consider the lilies, consider the grass. Grass, how insignificant can we get? God says, hey, I'm taking care of that. Don't you think I'm going to take care of you? You don't have to worry. You don't have to be stressed. You don't have to be seeking all this stuff and junk and money. It's not going to go to heaven anyway. It's not eternal. You can trust me. Then look in verse number 29. And seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be of a doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. Fifthly, consider your father. I got four wonderful little kids. Five, one on the way in May. And those of you who are dads in here, you know the feeling that happens when your three-year-old comes up and you say, Daddy, can I have a dink? Yeah, I'll give you that. My daughter has never asked me, my little girl has never asked me for a drink, and I handed her battery acid to drink. That would be sadistic. That would be wicked. wouldn't it? She trusts me implicitly. And I'm looking forward here in about 5 hours. I'll probably wake them up even though they're asleep. I'm looking forward to giving them a hug. They're in Indiana right now. I'm looking forward to going and hugging them tonight. But wait a minute. If I'm a human dad and I have that kind of thought toward my kids, how much more does our Heavenly Father have good thoughts toward us? And Jesus is here talking to disciples and saying, hey, you don't have to worry. I'm convinced, especially looking at the context of this chapter, where it is in discipleship material, and then looking at my own life and the difficulties I've faced trusting God, that one of the biggest issues that keeps young people, the biggest issue that keeps old people, the biggest issue that keeps any people from following God as a disciple is money. Things. Oh, I don't know. I would give in the offering, but I don't got to go to college, and I got to buy this, and I got to do this, and I would follow God, but you know, there's not much money there. I would trust God, but I'll probably be poor the rest of my life, and I would go to Africa or live for God, but you know, I probably just wouldn't. I'd struggle. And whoa, wait a minute. Jesus says, hey, men, you can trust me. And if this is the 12 that Jesus is talking to, these men did trust him with the rest of their life. And you know what happened? They all were dirt poor, never had anything to eat, and had no fun, and didn't do it. No. God took care of every one of their absolute needs till the day that he called them home. And friend, here's the deal. When you and I understand that God has your back, that you and I aren't going to falter, that God will meet every single one of our needs. If you follow God, as long as we're following God, God has promised to meet every single one of our needs. That passage in Philippians, my God will supply all your needs. Well, that's given in the context of people who are giving to the ministry, who are sacrificing for the ministry. When you and I do that, you can know God will take care of me. Period. So many of God's people live like this world does. Oh, how am I going to get to college? How am I going to get to the latest thing? How am I going to get the latest and greatest? How am I going to get the newest? How am I going to get this money? I can't give in the offering. No, I can't do that. No, I don't think I'm going to go to Christian college because after all, I probably wouldn't make. I don't think I can do that. Whoa. Take no thought. Don't worry about what this world has to offer. If you follow God, say, God, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to learn of you. I want to be your disciple. I want to follow you. I want to trust you. I want you to live through me. I want to be that disciple that loves you, even though no one else may know, even though no one else will recognize. God, I want to love you, and I want to serve you. I want your love to be flowing through me to touch other people's lives. If it's on a small scale or big scale, I don't care, but God, I want you. If you do that, you will never have another need that goes unmet. Well, you may have wants that need your want are changed, but you'll never have a need that goes unmet. That's what Jesus says. Look what it says here as we finish. Look what it says here in verse 31. But rather, seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. We know the Matthew passage a lot better oftentimes. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. You know that passage? Can you say that verse? Seek ye first. Good, you're still somewhat awake. Seek ye first. Instead of looking around and saying, how am I going to do this? How am I going to fund this ministry? What scheme can I come up with to fund my... No. I'm going to seek your ministry first, God. I'm going to follow you passionately. I'm going to follow you with all my heart. God, I'm going to do what you want me to do first, beyond any other thing. I'm going to passionately follow you with my life. No, I know, because God said so. He'll take care of me. All these things. Is it hard for God to provide for your college? Is he up in heaven going, oh, you're going to college next? Oh, where's the time going? Hold on. Let me make a couple phone calls, and let me see if I can move some accounts around. And just wait. Let me see if I can help you. Is that our God? No. The cattle on every hill is his, and the hills under the cattle are his too. It's all his. Everything belongs to God. There's no limitations with him. And yet we are told here as disciples, if you're willing to follow God, you don't have to run around like a chicken with your head cut off. That's what the world does. How am I going to get ahead? How am I going to get ahead? How am I going to get ahead? How am I going to make this money? How am I going to... Oh, no, stop. Take no thought. Literally, don't worry about it. Oh, God, I'm going to follow you with my life. I'm going to trust you completely. I'm going to trust you with everything that I have. I'm going to be in your ministry. I'm going to be fishers for men. Follow me and I will make you fisher for men, Jesus said. I'm going to follow you, God, and I know that as I do, the Bible says you'll take care of every single one of my needs. Remember, this promise is not given to everybody. It's given to who? Disciples. Those who are followers, scholars, learners. As we close, look what it says there. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Jesus says, seek my kingdom first. I can take care of all this mess. I can take care of your house and your car and your clothes and your money and your college. Yeah, that's not a big problem. Do my will first. I can take care of the rest. Verse 32, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Don't worry about the size of it. It's going to be a small... People aren't going to sign up for discipleship right away. Don't worry about the size. It's going to seem a little bit lonely at times, but that's fine. I can take care of you. It's my good pleasure to do this, Jesus said. Look at verse 33. Sell that ye have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags. And the word there, bags, is what we use the word, we would translate it, purse, which wax not old. So he's saying, provide yourselves a purse, a bag, which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. What he's saying is exchange. Take what you've been given here on this earth. What have you been given? Time and money. Well, you might say, not much money yet. Well, you've all been given something, and you definitely have time. Exchange it for what really matters. Exchange it for something that can't fade away. You invest in a $50,000 automobile. What's your favorite car? Can you tell me? One, two, three? Yeah, one of those. You invest in that. After a year, you know how much it's worth? Yeah, it's pretty depressing. And you know after 10 years what it's worth? If it's running? Not much. You know, you lose it. That money's gone. Yeah, you were able to get around. It's a necessity. It drives somewhere. But here's the great thing. When you and I take our lives and we invest it in what really matters, all that's eternal is the Word of God and the souls of men, when we invest in those things, you never lose, ever. You gain. And Jesus says, provide yourselves bags which wax not old. He's not saying lay up, try to get into the bank account of heaven. He's saying invest in what you can right now. What God's given you, invest in heaven. How do you do that? Well, you give in the offering at church. I hope you're already doing that. Well, I don't make much. Whatever you make, give a percentage of that back to God. It's already His anyway. Everything we have is God's. You get to invest. So often when we look at giving of our life, of our time, of our money, we think in the negative sense. But that's not what God said at all. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added. God's in the adding business. So often we think, oh, no, it's negative, negative, negative. No, 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 friend. You give it to God, it's a positive. He rewards to your account in heaven. And all of us have accounts. And I'm not going to take the time to show you that from Scripture, but look it up sometime. All of us have accounts in heaven, and you and I have the ability here in this life to add to that account, to invest what we've been given, and say, God, I can trust you because you've got my back. You take care of the ravens. You take care of the grass. You take care of the lilies. You take care of me. You're my Father, so I don't have to run around like a ninny. I don't have to run around like a chicken with my head cut off thinking, how am I going to make it? How am I going to get it? How am I going to get money? No, I can say, no, God, I'm going to invest my life, my energy, my passion, my drive, my desires in the work that you have me to. And I'm going to serve you with my life. And I know that you have my back. And I know that even a cup of cold water in the name of Jesus earns reward. So I know that you've got me. That's what you and I get to do. And friend, let me tell you something. I didn't get to this position in my life till too late. But friend, if you get that truth, it is completely liberating. I'm not saying you're never going to have another thought about money. Oh, how are we going to do that? I'm not saying that at all. But once you understand that as you follow God, as you follow Christ, He has promised to meet every single one of your needs. Not your wants. He'll change your wanter. That's a whole other message. but he'll meet every single one of your needs. It's liberating. This past year, I went overseas 4 times. Didn't have the money for that. Still don't know where it came from. I do keep track of my checkbook, but I still don't know where it came from. And those of us in ministry here, the pastors, the youth pastors, there's been times where you have seen God provide, I'm sure. Seen God do things. You're like, how did that happen? Oh, that was God's problem. That was God's ministry. That's God's business. He can take care of it. And friend, I can't get through to your head. I can't get inside you and help you see this truth, but I pray that you will. You follow God with your life. He will meet every single one of your needs. You don't have to run around like the Gentiles do, like the world does, seeking, oh, how am I? No. Take no thought. You trust me. You walk with me. You live for me. You be my disciple. I, Jesus says, will take care of you. What a great truth. I don't know you. I just met some of you today, and I've tried to get to know some of your names, said hi to you in the hallway. Some of you had pizza in your face when I said hi to you, that type of thing. But I do know that there's some here that God has been speaking. God's been encouraging you. And there's questions in your heart. You don't have it all figured out. But God's got an incredible plan for each one of your lives. And there's maybe some fear. I don't know if I can. I don't know. Friend, follow God. He's got an incredible path for your life. And there's others of you convinced that you're just here because, well, this, you got in the van this morning. This is one of those things you do. Everybody goes this every year. So here I am. And you don't have really an inclination to follow God. You're just kind of, whatever. Friend, can I say literally, as we saw a few minutes ago, don't waste your life. Don't be a fool. Don't live for yourself. Don't live for what this world has to offer because it's empty, it's broken, it can't provide, it can't meet the needs. The only place you and I can find complete satisfaction is when we follow God and give passionately everything we have to Him, to His ministry, to His service. As we close this afternoon, I'm wondering if God has spoken to hearts. We're not going to have invitation like maybe you're used to, but we're going to have a time of prayer, quiet prayer, but before we do, I'd like to pray for you. So I'd encourage you during this time to think about, to meditate, to go back and rehearse some of the truths that you've heard. Let's all bow our heads and close our eyes. As we finish this afternoon, how many would say, Brent, today God used His word in my life to encourage, to challenge, to convict me. You know, I have not been a disciple at times. There's been times where I've lived for myself. I've lived for things I want to do. But God today spoke to me. He challenged me. I need to be a disciple. God spoke. Would you lift your hand? Amen. Amen. Many hands. Second question. I would say, Brent, there have been times past where I have lived as a disciple. I follow God. I've been passionate, and yet the Lord showed me today further areas, or maybe showed me that I've kind of fallen back. I've kind of done my own thing, and I need to get back following God, get back being a scholar, learner, follower. God spoke, God convicted, God challenged. Would you raise your hand? Amen. Third question, how many say, Brent, the Lord used this session, this past session, to encourage me. I have looked at following God and going to a Christian college, training for ministry, et cetera, whatever the case may be. And I've just thought to myself, I don't know how this is going to happen. I don't have the money. I can't do it. And God used His word to encourage me to keep following Him because He can provide for my needs. God spoke. God used His word in my life. Would you raise your hand? Amen. Amen. Fourth question, how many say, Brent, I want the type of ministry that we saw just a few minutes ago in 2 Corinthians. I want to see that in my life. I want to have that love that overflows into the ministry. I want to be used by God. I want that. Would you lift your hand? If this afternoon you raised your hand, what we're going to do is we're going to have just a time of prayer. You can stay right where you're at. You can turn around and kneel in your seat. In just a second, I'm going to pray for you. And then the piano is going to play quietly and softly. And while the piano plays, you take time where you're at and pray and ask God to help. Confess, get things right, or just simply thank God for the encouragement that He's given today. Father, work in our hearts. Would today not just be a day that's once and done? Would we go forward from here understanding, knowing the truths that You've given us? And would our lives be different because of what the Word of God has done in our hearts today? Mine is. Lord, challenge us, move us, mold us. We need Your help. With heads bowed and eyes closed, take some time right where you're at and respond to truth. Father, thank You for the word that we've heard today. Lord, we've seen discipleship. Being a disciple is not easy. It's not about taking a course or doing certain things or checking certain boxes. It's about passionately following You every day of our life. It's challenging. It's requiring. It's demanding. But it's so worth it. For those friends here who are still on the fence, we're still struggling whether or not they want to follow God, would You help them to see that's the only place they'll find satisfaction? That's where it's at. And for those young people here today who maybe have struggled with discipleship and the fact that they do want to follow You, and they have perhaps, and it seems no one's noticed, it doesn't pay, it's not fun, it's not enjoyable, would You encourage them with the truth that we saw today? Would they keep going forward for God? And would they see that the rewards are not of this earth, they're eternal, there's a reality, there's a friendship, there's a love, there's a sense of companionship, and You promise to meet our needs. Would the truth we learn today from Matthew 10 and Luke 12, and even 2 Corinthians, ring and lodge in our hearts? We need You. We love You and thank You for the time we've had. Keep us safe as we head home in a few minutes. In Jesus' name, amen.